time's running, Ryan. Better we get the Baron soon as we can. Jack might be there by now.
Yeah, JP.
Joaquin gestured with the machine pistol, which looked to Ryan like a hacked-down, altered version of the old M3 submachine gun.
Cut the muttering. You putting the blasters down, or do we take you all out?
Ryan's mind was racing, considering all the various possibilities, rejecting most of them, setting other ideas to one side.
All we want is Emma.
The doomy slut?
Yeah. We find the Baron, take her from him. We all leave. Easy as that.
Easy as that? I don't think so. Baron pays us, feeds us. You gotta have some sort of respect for that, Carter. Not counting the blood debt for Josh Morgan and the others.
Joaquin shook his head.
No, I don't think so.
The range was around 20 yards. If the segment had been armed with a revolver like the others, there would have been no need to waste time talking. But the machine pistol could be lethal at that distance. JB had already exchanged the Uzi for the 8-round scattergun, feeling it might be better suited if they ran into a close combat situation.
Me, Ryan.
Ryan didn't say anything to his old friend, just nodded once. JB had been holding the shotgun down low, against his thigh, hidden by Ryan's body from sight of the SecMen. Now he eased it forward. Ryan knew what was going to happen and moved his right arm a little away from his side, leaving a narrow gap for JB to push the Smith & Wesson M4000 through.
Not gonna change your mind, Outlander? You sure?
JB, do it.
Ryan felt the shock of the explosion between his ribs and arm and moved sideways, opening fire with his Sig Sauer at the group of men and seeing them go down. JB fired a second round into the wounded SecMen, while Doc stood half up the staircase, hesitating. Ryan put Joaquin and one of the SecMen out of their misery with bullets to the chest and throat, while the third charge from the armorer Smith & Wesson killed the last man, who had already sunk to his hands and knees. JB pumped another round under the hammer and stood still, his eyes raking the dining room ahead of him, turning to peer into the dim light of the stairs above.
Think that's it?
Looks that way. Scared the rest off.
By the three Kennedys, I had no idea that you were about to release those miniature arrows, John Barrymore. My beloved Lamar remains unfired.
If you'd been a little closer, you could have taken them all out with a single round, Doc. But you weren't, so you didn't.
That way.
Ryan pointed across the dining room toward the rear of the building.
Can't take any more time.
Despite Christy and Mildred's efforts, Dean had insisted on moving closer to the back door of the Ville. The latest sounds of gunfire had driven him close to panic.
Dad's getting killed in there, and we sit out here with our thumbs up our asses, Christy!
Give it another 10 minutes. Nothing happens, then we'll go in. All right?
Sure hope we won't be too bastard late, Christy. There's some bad things going down in there.
I think this would do well for you. Yes, I think it will.
Emma's arms were bruised from sharp, steely grip, and there was a dark swelling on her right cheek, where he'd casually backhanded her for refusing to come with him into the dank, dark rear part of the building. She had briefly seen the occupants of the four cages, the pathetic Sticky and the poor, mad old Scabby, the crazed twins, and the tall young man. Only the last of them had taken any notice of the Baron and his hapless victim. He had moved slowly to the front of his foul-smelling cage, his bare feet brushing through the urine-soaked straw, skinny fingers grasping at the rusting iron bars.
The stone will lie deep in the water, and the water shall become dry dust.
Emma's golden eyes opened wide, staring at the man.
You have something of the power.
Power is knowledge, and I have a little of that. I know that the nuke walls will crumble, and the wind carries Sattler's death around the world to blot the pasture and the animals and people.
Sharp pulled her away.
His life is measured in hours. Yes, it is. Why feed a midget when you can have a giant chain to your table?
Now they stood in front of the last cage in line. It stood in almost total darkness, its stained concrete floor swept bare, the heavy metal door hanging open.
At least let me die in the light.
No, here's where you'll stay. If you give me what I need, then I might allow you to be imprisoned within the house, but not yet. The iron fist comes first, and then the glove of velvet, my dear little Emma.
Oh, there's so much death here.
Sharp smiled at her, the torchlight dancing off his cold, milky eyes.
So right, Doomy! Think of being imprisoned here, at the end of the world, sentenced to endless misery. Perhaps I might die in some accident, and then you would be forgotten. Oh, yes. Such neglect. It has happened before. I have sometimes quite forgotten about my pets through listening to my own private voices, and they have not been fed or watered. One wretch bit off his own hand and drank his own blood to sustain life.
The Baron gazed proudly at the empty cage, nodding to himself as he anticipated the pleasure of seeing Emma locked away inside it.
I've already told you what I see of our deaths. That shows you can trust me.
You to drown in an ocean of red, me to speak with a tongue of silver and vanish through a mirror into a desert where I shall cease to be. Ah, yes, yes, I've heard all that.
He lowered his face close to her.
But you don't think I'd be fooled by your carny medicine show gabble? Oh, no. Lies. All lies, woman.
It's truth.
Lies! Lies, 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 lies! Let us open up your new home, Doomy slut!
No!
She dropped her head and sank her teeth into his wrist.
Ah!
He let her go.
No!
Emma turned and started to run away, back toward the main part of the collection, toward the half-open door into the rest of the ville. Sharp caught up with Emma in the main room of the Muti Animals and Reptiles, just past the doorway that led into the chamber where the vast glass case held the mysterious hidden monster in the warm sand.
Stoop bitch! Oh yes, what a stoop bitch!
Sharp paused, posing as he caught sight of his reflection in the mirrored glass.
Oh, not bad, Sean. You are a sexy man.
Please.
No!
Both Emma's eyes closed and her mouth split, blood trickling down her chin and over the front of her black dress.
Do! What? There! Tell!
Emma slipped quickly into merciful unconsciousness, but the Baron didn't seem aware of it. Grinning mirthlessly, nodding as if he were agreeing to some whispered instructions from an invisible presence, he continued the beating. Teeth splintered and sliced her tongue open, releasing a flood of scarlet. He suddenly threw her to the floor.
Now lie there until you learn some sense to me.
Emma lay where he dropped her, half in the doorway between the rooms. She was on her back, her mouth open, the flow of blood trickling steadily down her throat and into the air passages to her lungs, beginning to drown her. Sharp dragged Emma into the middle of the room, beside the big glass case with its strange desert landscape.
Playing dead on me, Doomy. We know how to deal with that, don't we? Oh, yes, my precious.
He let go of her feet and knelt astride Emma, his hands gripping her throat and tightening.
Wake up, little Doomy. Wake up. Don't play sound asleep.
He started squeezing tighter.
Can't see your silver tongue. Looks big and purple to me, Doomy. Oh, no, oh, no. It was my tongue that was silver. You sank. What was it?
Emma's golden eyes were wide open, protruding from the dark, swollen sockets, staring sightlessly over Sharp's shoulder. Blood still poured between her purpled lips. Her body shuddered as though possessed by a violent ague, then went completely limp. The Baron continued to squeeze at her slender neck for several seconds. Then he stopped and sat back on the body.
But Doomies can't die.
He stood and kicked at the corpse, shaking his head when there was no resistance. He wiped his hands down the front of his white robe and stared at the crimson smears. He looked at the dead woman, a small ocean of blood around her head, matting her black hair.
Huh. Dead? Drowned in an ocean of crimson. Well, I'll be a son of a